I'm here at the Biodiversity Conservation Centre at Kings Park, and we're out in the gardens, and there are tables and tables of kangaroo paws in an array of colours. I don't think I've ever seen so many kangaroo paws in flower like this before. I'm here with senior plant breeder Digby Groans to learn a bit more about the extraordinary work being done on kangaroo paws at Kings Park.
This is a result of work that started in about 2007, and our prime aim originally was to breed disease tolerant lines in the smaller flowering variety, the cat's paws and the classic red and green Manglesii. And people love these ones, but they suffer classically from rust, which you can see these rust coloured pustules, and then ink spot, which is the black. And so those two diseases normally kill most of these plants when you put them in the garden. So what we wanted to do was breed disease tolerant ones.
Even though they're natives, they're still because they're at risk of disease.
Well, they're fire ephemeral, so they don't live long in nature. So after a fire, they'll come up in, there'll be heaps of them, and then 2 years later, you probably wouldn't see many of them in the landscape. So they haven't evolved to be super disease tolerant, long lived. So by doing a process we call recurrent selection, which is pretty much germinating 50 to 100 of the one cross, picking the best two for whatever feature, in this case disease tolerance, and then keep repeating that cross. And then over about four generations, we've succeeded in breeding some plants that are quite tolerant. You can see, like this one here, is actually very clean when you compare it to one like that. Now we're at a stage where we've got a lot of really good disease tolerant varieties with those flowering features, that now we're focusing on form and colour and branching. Through there you can see the amazing range of colours that Anagazanthus has produced. You know, you've got ones that are blue over here, we've got purple, we've got black colours, we've got whites, pure reds, yellows. I keep asking the question, where did that blue come from? And so that's the... there was an evolutionary pathway of that thinking that led me to David.
David is Dr. David Field. He's a molecular biologist at Edith Cowan University. So, David, where do you come in this whole process?
My connection comes from, as Digby mentioned, I previously worked on snapdragons, which are another classic garden variety with an amazing diversity of colours. And I just moved to Perth about a year ago, and I just noticed the remarkable similarities between snapdragons and kangaroo paws. Some connections with Ziggy Krause and Digby here, we've started a new project. Firstly, what we need to do, like we have in snapdragons, we need to first assemble the genome of the species, and this hasn't been done in any kangaroo paw yet. So that we need to piece together the entire DNA sequence, like much like we have done in humans, to enable us to get the genes that determine these differences. And then by comparing different varieties, so different species with different colours, we can then hunt down the specific genes that are causing that variation. And that's my main goal, I think, is to build the genome, find some of the genes, and then learn something about the evolutionary history of the group as well. So have these colour varieties emerged repeatedly? Is it just once and then it spread around the whole genus? And it also helps with breeding in terms of knowing, if we know what genes are causing the differences, we can use that to assist in maybe in enhancing the breeding combinations. We can also learn about this blue colour, which is very unusual in plants. So we may identify whole new chemical compounds that have previously been undescribed. Some of these chemicals also have medicinal properties too, actually, in plants. Arones and flavanols are known to have all range of different benefits for humans, and so we may make some kind of medical discovery. You never know. These things happen in plants.
Are kangaroo paws very well understood, well researched?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I think they have had some work done on particularly the ecology, so knowing something about the pollination syndrome. So these are very unusual floral morphology, and it's known that these are bird pollinated. So there's been a lot of work on that, and also on the genetics of some of the rarer species in the group. But in terms of the genome and DNA sequencing, we're really just starting out from scratch on that. There's really not been any work done using modern genomic sequencing methods.
So does that mean you've got months ahead of you in a lab just looking at DNA?
Yes, months, mostly there'll be a bit of lab work. So some in the molecular lab, we'll be extracting the DNA. Then eventually we'll get the DNA sequences back, and then it's basically months in front of a computer screen, actually, to assemble the millions and millions of base pairs in the genome. We think the kangaroo paws are roughly, we say, 1.3 gigabases. So this is 1,300 million base pairs. And so this is a lot of, you know, A's, T's, C's and G's in all different kinds of order to assemble. Much like a massive jigsaw puzzle, but instead of a 1,000 puzzle piece, you know, we've got like a million or something to put together.
So I get the exciting bit, which is making the crosses and looking at the colours and working in the glasshouse and nursery.
And you get to be outdoors and not in front of a computer
screen.
Yeah,
that's right, and that's part of why I do what I do.
Is there strong public interest in the kangaroo paw and what you can get?
Absolutely, and growing stronger by the day. So the first vision of the blue kangaroo paw was on ABC's Gardening Australia about 3 to 4 months ago. And the switchboard here just lit up with people wanting to buy it. We're not releasing the first blues until about this time next year. But the interest is just growing and growing for a whole number of reasons. I mean, plants themselves with COVID, it's quite incredible the amount of interest there is in gardening now and plants. Australian plants have been, the interest has been growing for probably 2 to 3 years, really, and people are really interested now in a whole range of flora. So that's the combination. And then to have this really interesting novel new varieties coming out from, you know, an area locally in Perth is also an added thing to it. And we, very early on, thought that our flora is so unique and so spectacular and no one else is featuring it, that we should do that and educate people. And so part of the education is trying to produce plants that people can grow in their gardens. We can provide people with, you know, the sense of place that is our West Australian flora without necessarily having to struggle to cultivate them.